Good evening and welcome to the service. Let's begin with one song.
Jesus in love.
Tonight we've been asked to give a presentation about the Spanish class's trip to El Salvador, and the majority of the evening we're going to be giving a slideshow presentation. But before that, Marvin Nisley, he was our sponsor, and he is going to lead us in a devotional.
Good evening. Well, before we left, I prayed that this would be not only an enjoyable, a fun time, but that this would be a time that we could see needs around us and develop a burden for the work in other lands. And I think that that is one of the things that happened. I think it was Thursday. I went with Arthur. He said, "Marvin, I want to take you. We're going to go street preaching." I said, "Okay." And if you've ever been somewhere where the preacher preaches a language that you don't understand, you can maybe sympathize a little bit. But we went out into a busy market, and Arthur looked for a place to where he could kind of stand up on a curb and preach. And he preached, and while he preached, I passed out a lot of tracts. there were lots and lots of people coming and going in the market. And I passed out a lot of tracts. And Arthur kept holding up this pen. He was holding up this pen and saying something and telling people. And it wasn't until afterwards that I realized, or he told me what he was saying. He was saying, come up here. I want to give you this pen. It's just like the gift that God has given. And I want to give this to you. And nobody was brave enough to come up. But that was what he, that was the story that he preached, or the message that he preached. Well, I'd like to take a few verses here in Matthew chapter 10. And I won't take a lot of time, but I do want to read just a few verses as Jesus sent out the 12, some of the instructions that he gave. I think that this time for each one of us, at least for me, was a life-changing time. We saw some needs that we didn't know were out there. We saw lots and lots of people. And we realized that you can live with a lot less than what we have here in the United States. We also saw some situations. Rosa and Emily and I stayed with Arthur's for Sunday, and we were in their church on Sunday. Afterward, Emily made friends with a little girl by the name of Ingrid. And I'm going to show you her picture when it's our turn. Her and her family. And after we got ready to leave, we took their picture. And then Emily said, well, maybe Ingrid could come and visit us now. And Arthur said, well, that's not possible. Emily said, well, why can't she come? We can come to see her. Why can't she come to see us? With a U.S. passport, as a U.S. citizen, we have lots and lots of privileges that many people do not have. There is no possible way for a national in El Salvador to get a visa to come to the U.S. They won't do it because they realize that the U.S. Says, well, if we let you in the doors, you'll disappear and you won't ever go back home again. And we don't want a lot of people here that are taking jobs away from our citizens, and there's a lot of politics and stuff. But the long and short of it is, you can't, if you're a national of El Salvador, you can't get into the United States. There is a girl who is engaged to a boy from the state somewhere. I forget. Her name is Mireya Garcia. And she has never met her fiancé's parents. She is, it's not possible for her to come to visit. Arthur has, on other occasions, he has written to the embassy and said, I'm this young person's preacher, and I can vouch for his or her character. And I know that he wants to visit for whatever reason, and I know that he's going to come back. And they said, well, that's okay, but I'm sorry, we can't do that because lots of people have lied. And so you're out of luck. We can't allow that to happen because there's too much chance that they won't come back in. So we have lots and lots of privileges. And there are many needs in countries other than ours. Let's go to Matthew 10, starting at verse 5. And here Jesus is giving some instructions. And I'm just going to read the first few verses of what he's saying. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely we have received, let us in turn give freely to those that we come in contact with, whether it's here or whether it's abroad. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for the many privileges that you've given to us by virtue of the fact that we're American citizens. Thank you much more that we can be citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, please go with us now this evening, and may this be more than just an entertaining evening. May the needs in El Salvador be shown, and may hearts be touched with the needs in other countries, and may we reach out and share to those who are in need, whether at home or abroad. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is at Cedar Crest, very early in the morning. We are preparing to leave for Wichita. There's some parents there who are planning to take us to Wichita, and we are taking roll call and making sure everyone has our passports. Here we're tagging luggage and so forth. This is in Wichita Airport, waiting around for everyone to get their luggage checked and things like that. This is after some of us went through the security, and some of the group didn't quite get, or just got through security in time to get on the plane. People were already boarding, so that was nice. This is on the plane. Also on the plane. This is in Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, sitting around having good times, or not so good times. I don't know for sure what's happening there. At Dallas-Fort Worth, we had devotions and rode the tram around there because we had a couple hours there to waste time. Sat around, slept, read, guarded luggage for other people who were off doing other things. Just had good times. This is a shot from the air. And this would be in Miami Airport. We were planning for about a 3 or 3.5 hour layover, which turned into, 7.5, 8 hours or something. So we had lots of time to explore the airport and have good times. A lot of boredom, a lot of stupidity.
Sure. The lady in the back that Andrea is talking to is Sonia Bontrager, Marion Bontrager's daughter. She came up to me at the airport and said, "Are you Beachy Amish?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm Marion Bontrager's daughter."
Journaling in the airport. We were supposed to keep journals for every day of the trip. Didn't work very well for most of us, but just a lot of time in the Miami airport. That's what it was. We finally got on the plane. I forget what time it was. It was at least 9:30 or 10. It was quite late. And then we got to Guatemala.
And this is the MAM Mission Headquarters in Guatemala, where we spent the night. Nice courtyard, fairly nice facility, actually. And then this is where the guys slept. It was 5 bunk beds in a room with owls in between it, essentially. It was quite tight. This is the kitchen at MAM. And then we bused to El Salvador the next day. Here is the bus stop in El Salvador. Lots and lots of luggage. And it was very, very hot. It was an amazing amount of heat. And then Aaron and Arlen, which would be Senorita Andrea's brothers, went and walked I don't know how many blocks to get the vehicles. They had to park them a long ways off when they came to get us because everywhere else was parked full. So we sat around for a long time and waited for them to bring the vehicles. But while we were sitting there, we saw a motorcycle going by with a car bumper on the back, which really humored some of us. This is the truck that the masts were driving, and we put all our luggage on and most of the guys because there wasn't that much room in the van. This is in the Mast's house, Willard Mast, Willard and Sharon Mast, to be precise. This is in their living room looking into the kitchen. The first evening, that would have been Tuesday evening, I guess. Then we went and ate pupusas with Willard's and family from church. And they're making the pupusas. Here we are enjoying the pupusas and good fellowship. Afterwards, then the entire class piled on the back of a truck, a relatively small truck, and headed back to Willard's place. This is that evening on Willard's front porch. We had a lot of good times on their porch. That evening we sat around and sang songs, or just hung out, depending on what we wanted to do at the time. This is writing an email home to the parents. It's looking through the window into Willard's study. This is a shot of the church where the guys slept. The girls slept right across the road at an empty house. We just put mats on the floor and made ourselves at home. This is another shot on Willard's front porch. More hanging out on Willard's front porch. It was a popular spot. This is in their carport, eating breakfast on Wednesday morning, I believe. We had most of our meals there because their house wasn't big enough to hold everybody very comfortably. This is in the kitchen, working away, I guess. This was on their front porch. Wednesday morning, we found some snakes. They were under a gunny sack. And David was actually sitting on top of the gunny sack when we saw the snakes. And we don't know for sure if they were there the evening before when we were sitting around singing or not, but they were certainly there in the morning. Here's a video of the end.
Go back to the machine gun underworld. This one probably can't see very well.
I would like to see him. Can you see him? Yes, we're killing him.
Where's his tail?
Where's the American Society for Protection Against Cruelty to Animals?
And there is Arlen holding the prized possessions. This is the other piece of furniture on their front porch besides the hammock. Relatively comfortable. And this is their van. This is Willard's van. I think we're heading out for our adventures on Wednesday. Some of us were on the back of trucks as well, or as of their truck, I should say. We went to ER to the clinic, and saw some road work on the way. There was a lot of road work going on, actually. They would work on a couple hundred feet of road and then move on to some other spot, and it seemed fairly random, but I guess if they were providing good roads, what does it matter? Nice scenery shots along the way. There's lots of very nice scenery. This is at the clinic. They're drilling a well there. Some of you may have heard about the adventures and that he got his bit stuck and wasn't able to get it out. So he's actually got some hired hands digging it by hand. He lowers him down. Anyhow, this is the front porch of the clinic. People waiting for assistance. This is at Marietta's house, I think. We took a group picture because it was a nice place to take a group picture. Here we're getting back onto the truck to head back to Willard's. And we met a cow on the road, which was actually not all that uncommon. There was often just cows and horses and other animals just roaming around randomly and waiting to get hit. Here we are. We often had a lot of people in the back of a truck. More hanging out on their front porch. This is walking from Willard's to the church. It was just a little walk down the road to where we were staying. This is a picture of a horse in the ditch, as well as the electric pole there. You'll notice it's painted. There was a lot of that. In fact, almost every pole or guardrail, et cetera, was painted. It's a political thing from the recent elections. A cow crossing sign. We don't see many of those here. And then I think from there we headed to San Salvador, if I'm remembering correctly. We went to the children's home, spent some time there, had fun with the children. Then we went to Misa and Regina for lunch. It was a very delicious lunch, and we sat out on the porch and sang for them and ate their food, and it was a good time. And played on the street. It was a guarded neighborhood, and so it was supposed to be safe. They served us some delicious mango shakes. It was very good food, as well as the shakes. They were, like, absolutely wonderful. This is Heidi and Misael's little girl. This was at a volcano, or an old volcano site. There was a lot of stones. And the unfortunate part is that they actually chased people out of their homes to make this neat little scenic overlook. And so that was a little too bad, but if you can keep the tourists happy, I guess you get more money, is the theory. And this is us having a good time, wearing Brett's, I guess. Then we went to Arthur's place just for a little visit, and we sat around and had a good time. They served us Coke, and then David's chair, unfortunately, decided to lose a leg, and so he went down and got wet from Coke, and everyone else seemed to think it was funny. He didn't find it quite as humorous as some of the rest of us. You'll notice here that guardrail is painted with political colors as well. We had a lot of van time. And now we will have the different groups. After this, we split up into different groups and went to different missions or people's homes, and were there for pretty much the rest of the week. So we will let the people that were there talk about that time.
The group that I was in went to the children's home, Strong Tower, and my group consisted of David, Shank, Timothy Yoder, and Arlen Miller, as well as Elaine Yoder and Sheila Graber. And this is the picture of the family that me and Tim and Arlen stayed at. And they were just 200 feet from the main children home building. And they are Paco and Maria. And the oldest one on the right in the green is Luis. The one on the left is Marvin. And the little girl is Jael. And they were great hosts. This is their house, and Timothy is preparing for entrance. This is their kitchen, which produced a lot of good food, along with some help from Maria and Luis, the way it looks. And this is their dining room. And this is their bathroom. And this is kind of out back. She had a lot of plants and stuff around there. It was kind of cool. And there's some tires and stuff stacked up. This is the girls' hosts, and I'm going to let Sheila tell you a little bit about them.
This is where this girl stayed, and his name was Santos, and her name was Dunya. And this is their children. The oldest boy is Caleb, and the girl's name was Eunice, and the little boy's name was Jason. And we often just sat around on their front porch in the evenings. And Caleb had a little goat that he milked. And we also ate a lot of mangoes. And this was their house. It was just right up from the children's home. And the first day we were at the children's home, we helped them wash walls and mop floors and stuff like that. We also cleaned shower curtains. And the second day we mended clothes, and we couldn't really get our point across to them that we didn't really know how to mend clothes, so we did the best we could. This is helping them get ready for lunch. We also washed our own clothes by hand. That was a very interesting experience.
As some of you may know, the children's home is producing coffee, which they sell as part of their income to keep the place running. And they have a bunch of plants around there, and they pick their own coffee and take it to a roastery in town, the Santa Tecla Coffee's Roastery. Anyhow, and this is kind of the front there. You had some snapshots of the equipment. They roasted it and ground it and all kinds of stuff, and then bagged it up for us. So it was, Thursday evening. We went with Misael's, all five of us that were at the children's home, and helped them pick up some coffee. And got a little tour of the place. And then on about half the way back, we stopped and all five of us had supper at a pupusadilla on top of the mountain with Santos, the girls' hosts, and had a good time. It was kind of a lookout up looking over San Salvador, so it was really cool. This is back at the children's home. This is kind of the main courtyard there in the middle, and there's a whole bunch of clothes there. This is running up looking up the little hill. This hill runs down to Paco's house, and if you look on the far right, you'll see the house where the girls stayed, Santa's house. And then the main building there is the children's home. This is once again inside the courtyard. Looks like they're playing soccer of some variation or another. This, I believe, is all the girls at the children's home. There were not very many of them. And the kids had this big enamoration with cameras. One of them, I think, took about 250 on mine once. Then the card was full. I think they saw some birds. The Thursday, the second day we were there, we helped plant corn with Paco. And, I don't know how much it was, maybe half an acre. And we had these little metal things on the ends of wooden things. And we kind of jabbed at the ground and threw two seeds in. And so it was, really rough terrain and quite a bit of it to be doing by hand. But it was a good experience. I think it was that afternoon that we hoed around this thing and put manure in it. I guess they wanted to plant flowers. This was another project we did the next day, I believe, putting, wood chips, I think, around plants in a little flower bed in front of the children's home. And it was a very tough experience. It left some of us very weary. Unfortunately, Arlen thought so too. That is Ernesto taking a picture with, presumably, Sheila's camera. He had a big enamoration with that. He was good at taking lots of pictures. This is actually back on top of the mountain, same time that we were there the other time, but it was kind of out of order. Tim is showing Misael and his little girl and the little boy, I guess, pictures on his camera or something, maybe showing them his camera. Anyhow, this is Gustavo, the father of the children's home, along with Abraham, who was the youngest boy there, and a bunny that he brought in for them one day. And that is also the youngest girl there, and I don't know her name. Oh, Idalia. And I don't know Gustavo's wife's name, but okay, her name was Adley. This is Avraham playing with the bunny until it got away. Then they went with all their forces or something to get it. Anyhow, Tim blew up a whole bunch of balloons, and he thought it made him weary, I don't know, but he blew up a ton of balloons for the kids, and they seemed to like it. This is Ernesto and Avraham, and this was one of their favorite toys at the children's home. This is playing baseball, which is really interesting because they just had about, two or three gloves and, I don't know, maybe one or two bats. And then logs and stuff for bases. It was really pretty interesting, but we had a good time. And this is playing with the car again. And that's Juan taking pictures. There's Juan with Elaine and Sheila in the kitchen. This is in the dining room, right outside the kitchen. You can look through that window into the kitchen there. Sheila had a big thing with dumping water on the kids. Either than they wanted her to or something, anyhow. Tim playing with some of the kids. And Elaine with some of the kids. And Sheila wants to tell a little story about some amazing cookies.
The second day, Adelie came up and told us that she wants us to bake cookies, so she just sent us into the kitchen, and we were supposed to find everything by ourselves. And it was really hard because the cooks didn't know any English, and we didn't know enough Spanish to get by. So we kind of did our best and put things together, and our cookies turned out awful, but they said they were good, so we hope so.
This is a shot of Ernesto looking up into the camera. Abraham, excuse me. This is outside of the children's home, just hanging out, I guess, playing with little rubber things that stuck to the ceiling. This is Cesar, and there's Cesar with a picture of Tim. Just before we left, they handed out some pictures, and the kids really enjoyed that. This is another shot right before we left. And this was a shot the evening before of the entire group there, along with us. This is, I guess, the beginning. This is, yeah, our host again.
Well, Frida and I had the privilege of staying with Avella Mirna and their family. Brenda is the oldest, and then Elvin and Elisa. They were a very wonderful family to stay with. We had a little difficult time communicating with them, especially the first evening. But she did very well with helping us understand, and by the end we were doing much better. This is their youngest daughter, Elisa.
Oh, help.
She was a lot of fun to play with. The first day we were there, we got to go to the school and visit the classrooms. This is the 5th and 6th grade classroom, I think. This is the 1st and 2nd grade classroom. This is Melissa. She taught English for some of Neto's boys. Afterwards, we took some pictures with the children. They really seemed to enjoy that. This is Avella Mirna's oldest daughter, Brenda. That afternoon, we had lunch at the teacher's house, and then that evening, we went with Avella's to a small church service that we had there. We sang several songs and had a prayer meeting, and then afterwards, they had a welcome home party for Andrea, and Mirna made a beautiful cake for a welcome home for her. Oops. And we had a good time with them. That evening, after we got back, we got to try to milk the goats. Some of it was a lot more successful than others. Frida seemed to get the hang of it, but I just couldn't, so it didn't go too well for me. Our sleeping accommodations were quite nice. They have two bedrooms in the house, and Frida and I got to sleep in the children's bed, which is very generous of them. They didn't have any pillows, though, so we had to come up with our own. So we wadded up some blankets and towels and use that for our pillows instead. And I'll let Frida tell you about the next day.
The next day we went to the clinic in the morning, and we had a very good time there. First we passed out some literature just to the people who were waiting. And then we had the privilege of following around the two nurses. I followed around Anna, and Alicia followed around Margaret. So that was very good. It was fun to try to understand the Spanish. And it was also interesting watching them relate to the patients. And we both had the privilege of following around Jana a little bit too. And after that, we popped some pills and ate lunch with them. All their medications. And then in the afternoon, Avel and Mirna, the people we were staying with, they came and picked us up, and we went to see John's sister, Maria, or Mari. And so it was, we drove quite a ways, and then Mari's boy came and picked us up, and so we all crawled into his moto taxi. And here is their family, John's sister. And they really wanted us to try to drive the moto taxi. So after a lot of convincing, I tried a little bit, but I only moved about 2 yards or something and it stopped. This is on the way home. And the children were taking lots of pictures. And she had a fascination with taking pictures of herself. So one time Alicia suggested that she could take a picture of me, but she said no, she'd rather take one of herself. And then we stopped for pupusas, and yeah, they were very good. They were Mirna's favorite. And that was special. It kind of felt like we were part of their family. When we got home, we spent quite a bit of time playing with the children, some of the gifts we had given them. And then she taught us how to make tortillas. And during the time she was teaching us to make tortillas, she told us her life story. And that was very interesting, and we learned a lot. Even if we couldn't understand Spanish very much, we got quite a bit that night. And yeah, it was very encouraging to listen to how she's faced so many hard things, but she's let God work through her, and she's very beautiful. So we really, really enjoyed our time there, and they were so hospitable to us. And even though we felt stupid sometimes when we couldn't talk much or understand much, they were very nice. And thank you so much for making this trip possible and for praying for us while we were there. Yeah, I will never forget the trip. Thank you.
This is the group of us that stayed at the deaf school. It's Trifina Shruck, Heidi Mast, Jared Shetler, and a Shank Boy, as we were listed in the budget.
These are some exterior shots of the campus there at the deaf school. This big building you see here is the main building there where we slept and ate and just lived in general.
And this is the school building from the outside.
This is the school building from the inside. It was a big open room, and it was shared by 3 classes. There was one at either end and one in the middle. And in a normal school, that would cause problems. But here, all the children were deaf, and so it didn't really matter if they were all in one big room. And the teachers said they took advantage of it by talking to each other and asking each other questions and such during class.
This area right here was used for chapel in the mornings and also right after lunch, and it was typically quite hot there.
Wednesday night, Nata told Jared and I that he would like us to mow the lawn the next day.
So the next day we mowed about 4 acres or so of grass with our neat little push mowers. And this is a shot of me with my push mower.
And this is me with my push mower. My push mower had more character than Jared's. If you notice, there's roughly 14-inch plywood wheels on this mower. And they were actually very round. It was an amazing workmanship. However, they were a little loose and tended to rub on either the handle or the bottom. Made it a little more difficult to push, but I'm still alive today.
And lest you think the guys are the only ones that worked, we don't have pictures of this, but Trippy and I, one day, Becky, the lady of the house, I guess, told me that she's heading into town, and they have a bunch of tomatoes that need to be worked up. And they needed pizza sauce and salsa. So she handed me a recipe and two recipes in total Spanish and headed out. And then, so I was like, okay, I think I can do this. But Trippy kind of flipped out and went to bed. Well, she's actually kind of sick. But so I sat down and tried to translate the recipe as much as I could from what I knew. And then I went to the cabinets and smelled different spices and looked at pictures on the labels and stuff. And I think I matched up everything fairly accurately. And then she said she would send some of the deaf girls in to help me. So I couldn't communicate very well with them either, but tomatoes for me. Anyway, so I made the salsa, and I was working on the pizza sauce, and I had never canned before in my life, so I wasn't quite sure how that was going to go. But it was a lifesaver just at the end. Kathy Kaufman is an older lady. Her and her husband live there on the campus, and she came in just wondering what everyone was up to, and she knew how to can very well, so she helped me till I was finished. So I think it turned out all okay, and I hope they enjoy their pizza sauce and salsa.
In the evening, then, the Aguilares area youth came over for some volleyball. Also, in this group were two other members of the Spanish class, Aida Yutzi and Sheila Rop. They'd been staying with a family nearby. After volleyball, we hung out for a while, trying out our Spanish skills and eating tamales and things like that. Harvey Kaufman then had a short little devotional, and afterward there was more socializing in volleyball.
Every day after lunch, we had a chapel time where the staff kids and the staff helped to give us a devotional. The staff would tell a story, a Bible story, in sign language and Spanish for our sake, and then each child would take a turn every day repeating the story in sign language. This is a student.
This is Carlito. He was a little boy that actually stayed there because he was an orphan. There was two boys that typically stayed there, but the one was homesick. He boarded there because it was too far to commute every day. Most of the students commuted, just came to school in the morning and then went home after lunch. This is the school children playing their usual game out in the lawn. They had approximately one game they played at recess. This is Maria Eva teaching the class. I think this was the beginning class, and this was the more advanced class taught by Molly Cassidy. Here is a sign language chart that we looked at the first day, and some of us paid more attention to than others. And so it was helpful to some people and not so much to some of the rest of us. This is Molly Cassidy. She's from Oklahoma, I believe. She was a teacher there, and it was quite helpful for us that she knew English, Spanish, and sign language. And so we actually depended on her probably more than we should have, but that's okay, I guess. This is Maria Evi. She was a teacher there as well. I forget what day it was that we gave them gum. We gave gum to each of the students, 6 foot of it, I believe, and they really seemed to enjoy that.
This is some of the older deaf girls washing dishes after one of the meals. This is Carlitos. This was just a time of hanging out in the porch with the deaf kids after lunch. We hung out in the porch quite a bit there. This is two of Nata's kids, as well as Carlitos, posing. Another one of the deaf kids. Trifino posing with a deaf kid. This is Nata's youngest son, Kenneth, showing off his sign language skills. He's about 2 years old, but already knows some sign language.
This is Kenneth in his usual spot. And occasionally others got to occupy it as well.
This is the dog. And yes, it's about as stupid as it looks. It would kind of wander around panting and bark whenever somebody walked by. And if you said chuka at it, which means dirty, then it would tuck whatever tail it happens to have between its legs and walk off. We never were able to figure that out. But it appears the dog rubbed off on Jared somewhat.
On Friday, Trippy and I washed clothes for our group as well as for some of the staff there.
Kenneth and I had the privilege of using our machetes to trim back some underbrush along the little lane they had out back here, as well as mow it with the neat little push mowers.
This is Carlito, and he has my camera. He is just as fascinated as the children at the children's home apparently were. Where are we at? And he also enjoyed showing them to the rest of us.
In the evening, then, we made pizza. And it was quite an amazing experience. It was a great time, and we had a lot of fun, but we had a little trouble with the dough rising properly.
Throughout the whole experience, there was a goodly bit of discrepancy as to what the proper methods are of making pizza, mostly stuff we gleaned from our mother's methods. But we got most of our differences resolved in the end. One interesting little tidbit of pizza-making wisdom that we gleaned from Trippy was that onions should go on before peppers because they're heavier.
Because of Heidi's inability to eat food with gluten in it, then we made mini pizzas on corn tortillas.
After supper, we played Dutch Blitz with the staff and a visitor from the Spanish lookout in Belize named Milton.
That evening, this is our last evening there, they wanted us to sign their guest book because we were going to be leaving the following morning before their typical rising time. And so, all in all, we had a pretty good time there, and it was a great learning experience for all.
Okay, during the day, Ryan and I helped Kevin at his bookstore. This is Kevin talking on the phone. This is looking into a room where Kevin had computers where people could come and use the internet. At the Garcias, where Ryan and I stayed, they fed us a lot of food, and it was very delicious. This is one of the girls. These are children of Marcos Daniel Garcia and cousins. They made tortas the one night, which were fantastic. And we got to watch them make them. It's basically cut up hot dogs with cheese and on sub buns with onions and peppers and tomatoes, and they're fantastic. This is Daniel reading from his law book. He is studying to be a lawyer. This is the dad, Marcos Daniel. This is looking into their kitchen. Breakfast. This is where they did the laundry for us. That was nice. This is from their back or their front door, looking out. We had eggs for breakfast the one morning, and we spent a lot of time sitting around talking and trying out our Spanish, which was interesting. And this is Kevin in the bookstore.
Okay, Ida and I stayed with the Amaya family. This was the front of the house that we stayed in. This was Reina's house. She was a daughter, and she had her own house, so we stayed with her and pretty much followed her around. She had two rooms in her house, and this was her kitchen, dining room, and bathroom area, kind of. The table in the corner we would iron our clothes on. This was our bed. These were our pillows. She gave us blankets, which was very nice. They were a little flat, but it was definitely better than nothing. And this was her second room, and this is how she divided our bedrooms. It was kind of nice having a little bit of privacy. Okay, this was the pot, and we wouldn't have stuck this picture in except that the lid was so covered in frills that if you put it up, it would fall right back down again. So I think while we were there, we kind of had to learn to find joy find stuff to make us laugh, because the communication was really hard sometimes, and it was kind of stressful, so we found joy in the small things of life. This was her shower, or the shower that we got to use. It was actually pretty nice. And this was the water tank that we would dip the water out. This was the water tank we would dip the water out of, and we would just pour the water over ourselves for the shower. This is what we washed our clothes in. It was called a pila. Here I am washing clothes. We didn't really know how to do it, so we did it, and I think it sort of worked. And here are the clothes hanging out. The first day we went, Reina was a school teacher, so we went and visited the school she taught at. And afterward, we gave balloons to the little children. She had about 15 to 20 students or so, and the classrooms at their school were pretty small, and their school was probably as big or bigger as the grade school here. But the classrooms were definitely a lot smaller. The second day we went on a field trip with her school, and the whole school crowded onto this bus. It was an amazing experience. And we went to the zoo. Reina did a very good job of keeping all of her little students in line. And Ida and I got to lead around two little girls. These were Ida's little girls, and these were mine. These were some cute little boys in her class. and this was some of her class. I don't think it was all of them. And after the zoo, we went to a park that was very amazing, and this was a slide at the park. This was also at the park. The U.S. definitely doesn't have as amazing public parks as they do there. This was also the park, a very nice spot. Most of the boys played soccer. That was fun to watch. They were very good. On the way home, we got to ride in a bus full of very sweaty people. That was unique. This is Reina, and I think that's the last picture. Okay.
Well, Rosa, Emily, and I stayed with Arthur and Lil, and this is the bunch, the day that we got there, and before we actually split into different groups, then this is everybody at Arthur's house in their living room. In the back, you can see out, they have a little tiny backyard. This is Kevin and, Lil and Sherry. And looking out of their living room, you can see into the garage, and then if the door is open, you can see right out onto the street. So it's a rather unique arrangement there. That first evening, Arthur and Lil took us to a little restaurant close by. And here's our family. Actually, this is a different time. The next day, Rosa and Lil went to the market to look for fabrics, and here's the result. The following day, then, we decided to do something fun after spending the day. Oh, and the day that the ladies were at the market looking for fabrics is the day that Arthur and I went downtown and he preached. Here's a shot of somebody trying to buy something that can't talk very well. It was an amazing farmer's market that here's a lady. The pink bowl in the back is, I guess it's right beside there. There's hot oil, and she's making French fries for us. They had everything from vegetables to shoes and aprons and stuff like that at the market. And here's Emily trying on some new jelly shoes. Very colorful. It was warm but not overbearing. And here you can even buy chicken heads and feet for 50 cents a pound. Another shot of Lil and Carlin heading down, bananas in the foreground and pineapples and limes and all kinds of fun things to eat. And I even managed to buy a fresh tortilla for 5 cents, Rosa tells me. There's the potatoes on the ground. And after that, we decided to hike down to a waterfalls. It's a gigantic waterfalls with the water is used to generate electricity, a hydroelectric plant. Just beautiful waterfalls cascading down. And here's a picture of Arthur and Lil again. And Lil, some of these are Arthur's pictures, and for some reason he liked to take pictures of Lil. More waterfalls. There was one gigantic waterfall that was probably over 100 feet tall, and then numerous littler ones. Here's Arthur and Lil and Carlin. And Carlin again, posing with Emily. Lots of green. It was so pleasant, cool. It was a warm day, and it was cool down here by the water. Some of us even stuck our toes in the water. On our way home, we stopped at a... Now, some of you probably are wondering what a pupusa is. It's the pupusa is this little round thing on the grill there. It has cheese and or beans inside of a flour tortilla-like thing, and very tasty. And here's some of the ladies making the tortillas. It was a little, these pupuserias are little roadside places. Sometimes there's one every two or three blocks, it seems like. And they also were frying up some pasteles. And the lady in the background looks like she may be of some Indian descent. And they were getting ready for the last night of a revival meeting in a little church right close by. And so these ladies were getting ready for the grand finale. Let me see. I need to give you a little background. This next picture I'm going to show you is we were coming home from market, and there was 23 people climbed in a little microbus. And here's what happens when some of us jump out. They just keep coming and coming and coming. And it was raining that day. That is all of them. This is a picture of Ingrid. She's a little girl in the green beside Emily, her parents, and two little brothers. They are a converts in Arthur's church there in San Salvador. And that is an outside shot of the church there. They lived on the street for many years until they started to come to church and were converted and are now attend there. And here we are back.
On Saturday morning, then, we all got together and got on a bus, mostly for the experience, and went to the market. We went to the main market just to see the sights. Most of us didn't actually buy anything there, fish, and it was a huge place, and we walked around for a long time, and I don't know if we ever backtracked, but it seemed like you probably saw everything about three times. There was lots of repeats of everything, but the meat smelled about as bad as it looked. It was very crowded. We had a hard time keeping everybody together. And then after that, we went and ate at I forget exactly what it was called. It was a chicken joint, similar to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was really, really good food. Another shot at market. More market. This is a truckload of police. It was not uncommon to see police riding on the back of trucks. Generally, there wasn't quite this many on the back of a truck, but there was lots of armed guards and such. You could, you know, people would pay a guy to protect their store, etc. And there was more armed people on the streets than we're accustomed to. It took a little adjusting. Then Saturday night, we played volleyball with the San Salvador youth group. It was very wet. We actually started quite a bit later than we were planning on because of the rain. It was a concrete slab. And then we went to the little lookout over San Salvador, waited, took pictures. There was a pupuseria, I think, was making pupusas for us at that time. And then Sunday, Sunday morning, we went to church with Willard's. It was actually just a Sunday school and devotions, and then we had a sermon in the evening. But in the afternoon, then we went, and some of us sat around some at Willard's place. Some of us walked down the road to Swing Bridge, just did whatever. This is the entrance to Swing Bridge. It was fairly common that they would put a forked branch and a fence line as an entrance. This is a shot from the road, Willard Mast's place. You can't really see much of the house because of all the beautiful plants, but that's the carport there and their van parked in front of the carport. It's a chicken house on the left. This is a volcano, I believe Isoko. It was Monday then. We went and climbed a volcano. This is preparing to climb the volcano. We had to have a guide and an armed police or an armed guard to go with us. So we were making preparations and taking group pictures. And then this is actually on the climb. Very rocky. Scenery shot. This is on top, those of us that climbed. Not everybody climbed. Feeling aggressive, I guess. I don't know for sure how we mustered that after the climb. This is the group that climbed after we're back down in a park. There was a park. It was a mountain. You had to climb down the mountain, up the volcano, then back down the volcano and up the mountain. And climbing up the mountain was definitely the hardest part. And then there was a beautiful park there where we took a group picture. Ryan and Kevin, they did not go on the hike. Kevin had climbed it once before and decided it wasn't worth it. Ryan, I don't think, was feeling the greatest. Willard and Sharon. This is pictures of the park taken by someone who did not go on the hike. I think it was Tim. He couldn't go because of a broken leg. Very beautiful park, lots of scenery. This is Jacob. He, I believe, was the first back to the camp, and he looks fairly worn out. Arlen had a tumble on the way down the mountain. I think he was going fairly rapidly and then lost his footing and rolled a couple times, and I'm not sure what all, then caught himself on a branch, so he's feeling a little under the weather, possibly exaggerating it a little bit on this picture. When we got back, then Sharon had prepared a lunch for us, and it was a very good lunch. Then Tuesday we went to the ocean. There was two beaches. The girls went to one, the boys went to another. And then at lunch we had a meal like this, right? Little rice, some salad, and a fish. And we ate the fish to varying degrees of completeness. Some of us ate the meat and left most of the rest. Some of them reportedly ate the eyeballs. Here's a shot of the ocean and a picture of the girls. Another picture of the girls at the ocean. A little drink in a bag. They serve drinks in a bag and then give you a straw. Scenery shot. This was on the way back from the ocean. We saw a truck that had pallets on it, and it had quite a few pallets, actually. That evening, we went to Pizza Hut with the Ramos family, and they said it was Andrea's birthday so that the employees would come and sing happy birthday. It was an amazing rendition with clapping and all kinds of carrying on. And there is Andrea with her birthday hat, even though it wasn't her birthday. And then Wednesday, I believe it was, we went to a little town about 5 minutes away from their place, and then did some shopping in the market and I think pretty much everybody rode motor taxis home from the little town. This is another poll showing the political paint. This looks like it's probably a different party. It's got green, red, and white. And this is Willard and Sharon waving goodbye to us on the bus as we were leaving for Guatemala from El Salvador. And it was very sad to say goodbye to them. They did an awful lot of work for us and were more or less like parents during that time. This is at MAM again on our way back. They had a nice big room there that we hung out in the evening. And most of us were too tired to be hanging out, but we hung out anyhow because we're young and foolish. But we had a good time. And this is in Miami, I believe, on our way back. We bought supper in the airport there, sat in a corner and ate it. This is on the plane, presumably to St. Louis. A picture of the ground from the air. Clouds. This is in St. Louis. And Jared is happy because he did not miss his flight. And Heidi is sad because she did. And the deal is that most of the group was flying to Wichita and missed their flight by about 15 minutes. And Jared and David and I were flying to Ohio, and our flight left a couple hours later, and so we were in plenty of time for our flight. The rest of the group had to fly to Dallas, spend the night in Dallas, and then take a plane from Dallas to Wichita in the morning. So that was fairly depressing for most of them, from what I heard. This is in the airplane. I think this is probably either from St. Louis to Dallas or from Dallas to Wichita. I'm not quite sure. This is back in Wichita, and they are being picked up. Family and friends. And this is back at Cedar Crest. And that is all for the slideshow. And now we will go up and sing a song for you. It was one of our favorite songs while we were in El Salvador. And then we will dismiss from there.